I think tonight's important for a number of reasons. We are going to record everything, so you can go back and listen to it, or others that aren't here, you can encourage them to listen to it. But there's something about when you state what God is going to do in and through you, or your team, or the church. There's something, there's power in it. It also, you know, awakens darkness to light. You know, so I will say this, if you believe what God wants to do in and through you isn't impossible, then you're not on target with what God has for you. He wants to do something that can only be done in and through you with Him. I love the, you know, there's always controversy and stuff, so. The Shack, there's a movie, right? There was a book, controversial, whatever. But there's a scene in the movie where they run across the water together, and then he goes off and does a visit, and then he comes back and he's talking with Jesus, right? And he just starts walking across and he sinks as he goes, right? And Jesus laughs at him and he says, it's better when we do it together. And it shows him then running across the water, right? What God wants to do, He wants to do with you. What God wants to do in the city, He wants to do with us. What God wants to do in the city, He wants to do with us and other believers, other fellowships. There's reasons we gather occasionally, something we'll continue to do. But we have to think bigger. I love talking with the guys, especially Larry, because Larry has no problem with very large visions. So we talk about developing all the property and all the things it could entail to have a built college, not rooms you borrow in the church. Have a built school, the school that's renting, they're going to outgrow it in no time. We should be building schools to have dormitories, to have staff housing, to have a worship center, to have a prayer center. Why not think big?
Yep. Amen. Amen. I agree with that. Amen. Good.
So I want to talk a little bit about purpose and vision for my life and for my desire for the encounter in this upcoming year, is that we allow God to clearly establish His purpose and vision in us. That it's not arbitrary, that we understand what we're going after. Doesn't change who we are. We're a people that pursue passionately the presence of God. I want the presence of God to go before me. I want the presence of God to be around me. I want the presence of God to consume me. I want Him to be there after me. I want it to change everywhere I walk. I want to hear stories of your shadow doing stuff. Why? Because God is so with you. How many of you know that God is with you that much?
Amen.
We just need to be more aware of what He's asking us to do. So Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Another version says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. I think we can clearly see that in society, but unfortunately, we also see it in life of the church. Church life is not just a Sunday morning service. It's more. Some of you guys do all kinds of things throughout the week. You engage with the kingdom life all the time and invite people to come along with you. Others go from Sunday morning service to Sunday morning service and wonder why. You know, life is the way it is throughout the week. We have to be engaged not only with what God's doing, but with one another all the time, 24/7. Why? So God can do the things that God wants to do in and through us in this community. Two of the most important things God has given for our lives are His purpose and His vision. The question is, does life control you, or do you control life? Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. My question to you is, was He kidding? Did he mean what he said? If he didn't, why would he say it? Is he telling us something that we cannot possibly do? So we should be fruitful. We should multiply. We should fill the earth. We should subdue it. We have dominion. We should walk therein. There's a level of knowing who we are in Christ that has to be exercised out, and we're moving into a season where I believe the favor of the Lord is going to rest on his people to jump out of the boat and walk on water. Your creative purpose is for you to control life, to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill, to subdue, and to rule. So God has given purpose, and God has made plans for me, for you, for us, for other believers in the city, for the state, for our country, and for the earth. Jeremiah 29:11, most of you know this verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I hear so many discussions now because of what's going on, and people have lost hope, and I don't understand it. You guys have heard me tell you tons of times, I don't mind knowing the score of a game and then watching it. We live like we don't know that we win. We win. Let's get it settled once and forever. People of the Encounter, you win. You will have this city. This city will be saved. Why? Because every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
That's your inheritance. "For I know the plans I have for you." See, God already knows. We just need to get along with what God already knows. Psalms 33:11, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." So has he changed his mind? Did he make plans and scrap them? Did he toss them away after you heard about them? No, if he wants to save a city, he's going to save a city. If he wants you to heal the sick, which his word says to do, you're going to heal the sick. If he wants you to raise the dead, which his word says to do, you're going to raise the dead. It hasn't changed. The purposes of his heart are the purposes of his heart. Isaiah 14:24, "The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will stand." There's not a lot of ambiguity there. There's not a lot of uncertainty there. What he says he is going to do, he is going to do. Now, I don't know how many of you have read the words of the Lord that have been spoken over this church from its inception back in 1950s or late 40s. What he has said he is going to do, he is going to do. The question is, are we going to participate so we get to see what he has said come to fruition? Guess what? It's our choice. His word's true. It's just a matter of, are we the people that are willing to do it with us and through us? Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." See, you have a job to do, I have a job to do, we have a job to do that before we were, he prepared for us to do. All I can say is, now is the time to get on with God's plans. Now is not a time to sit back. The church has been too apathetic for too long. It's time to engage. When a prayer meeting's called, all the church should be there. When a worship service is called, all the church should be there. Why? Because we need to show the world our parties are better.
Right.
Why should they go to the bar when the best party is right here? They go to something that they think will give them some semblance of satisfaction when the only satisfaction in his life is right here in the presence of God. The best person for them to talk to is you. Why? Because who is inside of you that you get to deposit into them? You have something they need. We need to pop the cork ourselves. See, it doesn't matter what you currently have or don't have, as long as you see what you could have. You know, I've gone through a lot of church life. And I'll tell you, the worst thing in church life is when we start mimicking non-church life. And you get all the complaining and the criticism and all that because all you see is what's wrong. See, our nature is when we see what's wrong, we start whining about it. We get upset. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with God's plans. The only thing wrong is, are we participating with him or not? So if our eyes are on God's plans, we're going to see what God wants to do, and we have something to participate in. And if we do it properly, we won't see what's not occurring. We'll see what is occurring, and we'll be giving God the glory instead of bickering. If you got a complaint, most of the time, your eyes are probably not on God. I don't know, it's hard for me to be too critical of God. He kind of does things right. Now, we need to be accountable to one another and encourage one another. Yeah. Hold each other responsible. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So what should we be doing? Pulling people into the truth and into the light of what God has for them. Encouraging them along their destiny, what so God can do what God wants to do in and through them. Amen. Even Jesus had purpose. So if you think you're excluded, you're not. John 18:37. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. See, Jesus was effective because he knew the plans God had for him. His whole life was in preparation for what God intended for him. See, the truth is, God has given you everything you need to fulfill your purpose. Question is, do you know your purpose? And do you have his vision for it? Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. 2 Timothy 1:6, for this reason I remind you to fan in a flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Romans 11:29, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. So we already know, we've already heard, that before we were, he had stuff for us to do. He had plans for us. They're good plans. They're fun plans. Right? No matter what it looks like, because you know the end is God gets the glory. You win. They're irrevocable. Whether you choose to do it or not, he has stuff for you to do. My point in this is to say, grab a hold of your purpose, God, grab a hold of his vision for you, and get about doing the things he's asking you to do. Why? So you don't have another apathetic year. The church can no longer be complacent. Too many people are dying without knowing God. Too many people in the name of God have distorted his plans and his purposes. Too many churches are not taking holy stances. The church has to stand for something. It needs to stand for who he is and what he's about. There should be no woke agenda in the church. But the church does need to be reawoken. And so on. I said it that way on purpose. Awake. Awake. You know, if you have trouble with that, set an alarm. If what's going on in outside the church isn't alarming to you, stuff going in inside the church should be alarming to you. There's enough stuff going on that you should be alarmed. We should be awake. Say, how do I find my purpose? How do I find my vision? It's in your heart. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. See, God has put something in your heart that calls that which cannot be seen to be seen. And you always know when somebody is doing something out of their heart, because it doesn't matter if it's impossible or not, it's going to be done. Nothing can stop somebody that does something out of their heart, because passion will drive you beyond what anything else can do. When you start understanding the wonderful things that God has for you, the purpose He has for you, the things He's put into your heart explodes. It passes physical strength. You hear people that save people by lifting a car, you know, and they can't lift 10 pounds. Our passion for God, our passion for the presence of God, should lead towards something more than just sitting in His presence all the time. Why? Because He's not just a God that sits around and does nothing. He's a God that came to save that which He created. And there's still some saving that needs done. And if you read the word properly, you know there's a lot of rest in work. There's a lot of rest in doing things with God. There's not a lot of rest in doing things without God, for God. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You need to start laying the things in your heart before God and say, okay, what went today, God? Bud always has these types of stories. He's always fun to talk to. You know, what are you going to do today, God? Really, at the grocery store? Yeah. Who am I going to bump into there? I got to talk to that person? You know, God wants to relate to you like that. Amen. Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. See, we have a task to do. We have treasure in earthen vessels. We have to draw it out. Why? So the plans that God has had for you, for the encounter, for your family, for your workplace, in advance, before you were, come to fruition. Isaiah 46:10. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. Church, if you want a motto for the year, find out what God's purpose is and say, His purpose will stand. And I will do all that pleases Him. You will be fruitful. You will multiply. Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So what did we say? We said God has stuff, wonderful stuff for you. He's put it in your heart. You say, how do I get it out? Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, I don't know if that sounds like work to you, but that sounds like a lot of fun to me. You know, you ever watch kids play? You know, especially with older people. I count myself there now. You know? And when they delight in you, they're never worn out. I'm worn out. I don't think we wear out God. What's God do? He gives you the desires of your heart. What are those desires? The things he's already put in there. You want to see God move in your life? Delight yourself in him. Have a little fun. Go on an adventure. With Bud if you want. So in closing, just a couple definitions for you. Purpose is when you know and understand what you were born to accomplish. Purpose is when you know and understand what you were born to accomplish. He has something just for you. Just for you. It's a year to unwrap the gift. Vision is when you can see it in your mind by faith and begin to imagine it. Vision is a glimpse of the future that God has purposed. See, I have no problem seeing all the different buildings on this property. I could walk you through the property and lay them out. I could tell you what's happening in each one. I can see it. Individual purpose and vision. This is so important. I hope you guys really grab hold of this. And don't let a year slip by without living on purpose. Why? Because if you do, then the corporate purpose will not be what the corporate purpose should be. It takes each of us going after the purpose and vision for God for our lives, for the vision in this house to be fulfilled. Because you have a part to play, and I can't play that part. I have to play my part. Individual purpose and vision helps fulfill corporate vision. Now we're going to be heading into time where each of the various ministries, or even some ministries we don't have, are going to come up and speak. They're going to speak their purpose. They're going to speak their vision. They're going to tell you things they're doing or want to do or just ideas they have. The whole part of that is to see what bursts forth in your heart. What does God want you to be a part of? There might be something that's not said that God's birthing in your heart. Start talking about it. Start praying about it. Start sharing it with the various leaders. Told my wife, I believe that this year is a year of activation, equipping, and empowering. So God's going to birth something. He's going to make you active in it. You're going to get trained for it. Then you're going to be sent to do it. I want to say this, and then we'll call Brian up to start off the ministries. Sight is a function of the eyes. But vision is a function of the heart. Don't limit your vision by what you do or don't see. Eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are rare. This is going to be a house that sees. This is going to be a house that speaks victory. This is going to be a house that sees the light of the Lord. It's not going to be consumed with the darkness of stuff. Without vision, sight has no hope. Sight is the ability to see things as they are. Vision is the capacity to see things as they will be. Let's start seeing what will be, and let's watch what God does in and through us. Thanks for your time. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would bless your people, but even more so those that are presenting what you have laid on their heart to present. I pray that either tonight or even as people visit the website, that your heart would be bursting forth in what they have to share, so that people's hearts are stirred to get on to doing the things that you would have them do, so you could be glorified in seeing a city taken for you. That's our purpose, not just to hang with you here, but to see you everywhere we go, to see you move and see you change things, to bring you glory. That's why we exist, and I thank you for it. I thank you for each speaker, and I thank you for each hearer. Bless them and let your favor rest upon them. In Jesus' name, may they have purpose and vision. Amen.